If you'd been paying attention to the sports world during about a three-day stretch back at the beginning of October, you might have caught wind of a blockbuster story.
He's not just arguably the world's greatest soccer player. According to the ESPN Fame 100, he's the world's most famous athlete. But this morning, he's under criminal investigation, reopened in Las Vegas by a woman who alleged he sexually assaulted her in 2009.
And if you tuned in any time since then, not so much. The allegations against Cristiano Ronaldo are detailed and disturbing, and he's proclaimed his innocence like so many other men accused of sexual misconduct over the past year. But what's different about this story isn't the evidence or the denial. It's the name and the industry in which it takes place. Soccer is the world's biggest sport, Ronaldo the game's biggest star. If the sports world was going to have its own long overdue Me Too reckoning, this should have been the story to finally spark that discussion. Instead, like I said, not so much. But why? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
It's kind of like a real test to see how people will respond, if they will actually finally listen this time because he's such a public figure.
Emily Sadler is a reporter and columnist for Sportsnet. A week or so ago, she wrote a piece called "We Need to Talk About Cristiano Ronaldo." So we are. What are the allegations against Cristiano Ronaldo?
So a woman has come forward named Catherine Mayorga. She has alleged that Cristiano Ronaldo raped her in a penthouse suite of his hotel in Las Vegas in June 2009. She did initially report this rape, but didn't name him by name. She had a rape kit done. She essentially did all... She took all the right steps.
Right. She checked the boxes, which is a sad thing that we have to go through
and
ask if she did, but she did it.
She did it. And so for all the times that people argue, well, where's the evidence? I mean, this case, in terms of that...
What kind of evidence is there?
She took the rape test, the rape kit, sorry. It did reveal that there were even some injuries involved. She told people, she reported it to the police. She did not name his name at the time. She was simply too scared. She didn't want to name him because she knew how big of a figure he is. She only indicated that the perpetrator was an athlete, and she said he's a very public figure.
And that was like 9 years ago.
9 years ago.
Even then, he was famous.
Yeah, I mean, he's at the time still was really like he's one of the biggest athletes in the world. He's probably the biggest athlete in the world.
Yeah, give people a sense, people who don't care about soccer, a sense of who this guy is.
Honestly, I almost feel like I don't need to because even if you don't care about soccer, you still know who he is, but I still will. He is the best soccer player in the world. The Messi fans will disagree with that.
Right.
But he's accomplished everything there is to accomplish in soccer, just about. He's a 5-time Ballon d'Or winner. He's the face of Nike. He's the face of the sport. And we all know how big soccer is. It's a worldwide sport.
What happened after the accusation was made back in 2009?
So after the accusation, Catherine Mayorga, she got a lawyer and essentially they settled her side, and Ronaldo's team of lawyers signed an out-of-case settlement that saw her get paid $375,000, basically in exchange for her silence. So this wasn't something that went through the courts. It was a separate settlement that was signed, and it also included a clause that essentially if Mayorga were to talk about it or name him by name, that she would face legal repercussions.
And then she eventually did name him.
She did.
When and what happened?
In an article in Der Spiegel, which is a German publication, in late September of this year, she told her story and attached her name to it. She said that she felt emboldened by the Me Too movement, seeing so many other women come forward and talk about their perpetrators, that she felt like it was time and she wanted to get the justice that she deserved. And she's got a new lawyer who believes that that settlement that was signed is not actually a legally binding settlement.
Hmm.
And I also think we should be clear that this is not a tabloid newspaper. Like, you know, this story has been vetted by lawyers and journalists who take their jobs very seriously. So this, for anyone who's, you know, questioning the validity of the publication, I don't think that's an argument in this case.
And this is why we kind of have you on, because of what you wrote for Sportsnet. So I saw some stuff at the end of September that said this had kind of happened. I saw a post on Deadspin. Mm-hmm. There was a Wire story, I think. And then not much.
Yes. I struggled with it when it first came out because I think amidst all of the, you know, the political climate that we're facing right now with all the Brett Kavanaugh stuff, I personally felt exhausted. I almost felt too exhausted to take on another topic like this. And I'm ashamed to say that I saw those Ronaldo headlines and I scrolled by them when I first saw them. And that's not something that I'm proud to admit, but it was kind of easy to ignore it because there just wasn't that much out there about it.
Why wasn't though? Because like you said, this is the biggest soccer star in the world, or at least one, two. And in lots of other industries, that's enough to get a story going and keep it going for months, especially when there seems to be evidence.
Yeah, you're so right. There is a document that Mayorga's lawyer says that he's in possession of, and Der Spiegel has also seen this document, that has Ronaldo admitting that she said no multiple times, and he did it anyways. Like, I think at the core of this, it's that people are uncomfortable with it and they simply don't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at fans, it's incredible what fans can overlook when supporting someone who's wearing their team colors. And the fact is, it's easier to ignore it, especially when it's someone who, like Ronaldo, who is the face of a sport, and we have for so long made him the face of this sport and the face of also goodness in terms of what he does in his community. He's become a role model for so many kids.
There's literally a statue of him.
There are literally so many statues of him. They're not very well done, but right. There are literally so many statues of him. He's like a god in his sport. I think at the root of it, people just simply don't want to believe it. And it's also when you're reading about this, it takes work to, I think, also educate yourself on what's going on. It's very easy to just turn on the game, watch mm-hmm. the game, and then that's it. Talk about his on-field play and end the conversation there.
What has happened to Ronaldo in the wake of these accusations? What are his team and his league saying?
He has gotten overwhelming support publicly by so many in the soccer world. So his team, Juventus, you know what? They had a chance to at least just say something about this and maybe just acknowledge that we are aware of these allegations. And, you know, like there
we
is
take
that,
these things very seriously, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, the spiel that most teams would say. So Juventus, they acknowledged it, but they acknowledged it in this completely tone-deaf way. I'll read it out.
Read it out where? Where's the statement from?
So they tweeted out the statement.
A tweeted statement is always a good
sign. A two-part tweet-out statement.
Okay. Read the statement.
And they even at Cristiano Ronaldo'd. So just so to make sure that he also saw it.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but yeah.
I know.
Okay, read the statement.
So the statement is as follows. Cristiano Ronaldo has shown in recent months his great professionalism and dedication, which is appreciated by everyone at Juventus. The events allegedly dating back to almost 10 years ago do not change this opinion, which is shared by anyone who has come into contact with this great champion.
Well, it's...
It's something.
It doesn't lack for conviction.
No, it does not. And there's so many, it's really not that many words, but there's so many parts of this that you can really slice up and look at just how this is not the right thing to say. You know, they're focusing on his professionalism and dedication. Like throughout this whole thing, I just want to make it clear that like no one is doubting that he's a professional soccer player.
Right. Yeah, he's
no
very
one
good.
Is doubting that
this.
He's dedicated to his sport. That to me is something that's redundant. That's not part of this, essentially. And then even them saying the events allegedly dating back almost 10 years ago, it's sort of this like not so subtle undermining of this whole thing, sort of suggesting that just because it happened almost a decade ago,
that's part of the playbook.
It doesn't matter. Exactly. It is part of the playbook. Oh, why didn't you report it then? Oh, she actually did.
Yeah.
And then just to finish it off with calling him a great champion, in my opinion, that's just a tasteless term for them to use.
So what happens in the soccer, like in the soccer press at large after this? Were Juventus hammered over it? Were they grilled on it? The wheels keep spinning?
So for whatever reason, I clicked on the tweet because I seem to always do that just to see, you know, what kind of responses it would get. It definitely did get several responses of, you should delete this, this is inappropriate, and that kind of thing. You know, the voices of reason. But generally, I mean, you get the stories that come out that are just a simple Juventus stands by Ronaldo kind of thing. Mm. There were some outlets that definitely did slam the team for this kind of statement. But generally then, I mean, it just, you kind of, you see the statement and you keep on scrolling, and then a couple days later and it's not really in the public eye anymore.
When I was going to talk to you for this story, I went to try to figure out what was going on with Ronaldo now. And there's a ton of pictures on Twitter about how he set a record for 400 goals this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch more previewing his match today, Champions League, back in his old stomping grounds where he used to play in England. They're now playing there today. And I just didn't see it. I didn't see references to this story, aside from one tweet from his brother denying it. And I felt like, to be honest with you, can I be honest with you? I felt like I'd missed my chance to talk about it because people weren't paying attention anymore.
Yes. And I totally get that, because it does seem like it was topical last week, the week before, and now everyone's moved on to, you know, he's back on the pitch and he's playing soccer again. But it is topical. One of my other points when I was writing about this was just that this isn't just about Ronaldo. It's sort of this, it's showing the same pattern that we see every time a powerful man or a powerful athlete is accused of something. It shows the same patterns of immediately trying to discount the view of the victim or the survivor. And so to me, because it's Ronaldo and because it's this big name, to me, it's kind of like a real test to see how people will respond, if they will actually finally listen this time, because he's such a public figure. Going forward with this, I want to keep talking about it, and I want to see what we can learn from it also, in terms of how the media deals with it, in terms of how we deal with it.
So the one thing that hasn't gone away yet is the actual investigation, right, which has been reopened. So I am wondering what happens. What would the soccer world look like if the investigation that's been reopened finds something and they lay charges?
So the optimist in me says that this opens everyone's eyes to the fact that when a victim or a survivor comes forward, we listen, police take it seriously, and fans maybe take off their jerseys.
Maybe.
And take the allegations seriously and don't cast it off as, oh, that's fake news. Oh, that's just a rumor. Oh, she just wants to get famous. Side note, have you ever heard of a victim getting famous from something like this? This is not a thing that happens.
I'm trying to struggle to recall a single name.
That's the thing.
The victim.
I really want to drop this argument of, oh, she's just trying to get famous. Like, guys, there are better ways to get famous.
Yeah.
The pessimist in me, I can already just see the arguments coming forward from the Twitter trolls and the deep, deep fans saying how unfair this is to Ronaldo, saying the same arguments of, it happened 10 years ago. I hope that we can change the narrative. I hope that this case serves as an example of why we need to change the narrative. I guess maybe we'll find out. I hope we find out.
You work in a sports newsroom.
I do.
How hard is it to get fans to believe something they don't like about their team?
It's nearly impossible.
Explain how that happens when you try to tell them something they don't want to hear.
Yeah, it's this weird phenomenon where, like, you can't hear it beyond, like, you know, you're wearing your team colors, and so anything that is said about your team or the players on it, it's like you don't even hear it because you just don't want to believe it, because your team is your identity.
Can you think of a time when a player let you down?
Can I talk about Patrick Kane?
Yeah.
But because charges were dropped, I feel like.
What was he charged with?
He was charged with sexual assault.
And the charges were dropped.
Charges were dropped.
What did you, you were a Patrick Kane fan?
I'm a hockey fan. Like, I grew up, like, hockey is religion in my household. And hey, like, I grew up idolizing athletes just as much as anyone else. And also for, like, totally illogical reasons, just simply because they're so good at sports.
Sure.
And they, you know, like, they're heroes. And so you also brand them as, like, good guy. Like, your skills match your off ice or off field persona. I had always been a fan of Patrick Kane, also former London Knight. I'm a Londoner, and he's just so fun to watch. And so you want to root for him. He's kind of the classic underdog in the sense that he's this undersized, overskilled guy. So when the allegations came out a few years ago of sexual assault, yeah, it was kind of hard to sort through my own feelings on that.
Do you remember hearing about them? Like when you heard about them?
Yes, and I was actually here at Sportsnet, and that was pretty early on in my days covering the NHL for us, for the website. It was interesting to see how that was handled, both from a fan perspective, like just on how I kind of thought of them, and also from the media's perspective.
We explored it from the side where it's been reported on, but now I've got you on the hook for a player you love. Did your opinion of him change instantly when you heard about the allegations, or did you think about it and hope it wasn't true and et cetera, et cetera?
My opinion changed.
Right away?
Yes.
Why do so many people struggle to do that?
Well, I think also because I'm a woman, and because I, you know, I just feel like I believe you if you come forward and you say that this has happened. I believe survivors. I believe victims. I understand, though, not wanting to believe, because as someone who was a big fan of Patrick Kane, I didn't want to believe that these were true, but it did change my opinion.
And it marks him, too, because the charges against Patrick Kane, we should be clear, were dropped.
Yes.
Did that change how you felt about him?
Yes and no. I find it hard to cheer for him. And the same goes for many athletes who have been accused of some pretty serious allegations. I think, like, in my own opinion of him, I'm hesitant to kind of re-embrace him. I think it's like about the narrative around him. Like, after the charges were dropped, the narrative was that he overcame this obstacle. And I think that's a troublesome narrative or term to use. I don't know, like, he's the one that is hard done by in this case.
You know that if the Vegas police don't charge Ronaldo, that he's going to overcome this too, right? You know that
absolutely.
Narrative is there.
It's already, like, I've seen some headlines saying that Ronaldo scores beautiful goal amid rape allegations. That's not okay.
No.
We're already starting to cast this off. We're minimizing it with every reference of it, essentially. It starts off with we're naming Catherine Mayorga, and then it goes to rape allegations, and then it goes to off-field turmoil, and then it just gets like put into this very tidy, convenient box of off-field issues, and we kind of forget about it.
We tried not to do that today.
We did.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Emily Sadler of Sportsnet. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Check out some of our other episodes, and of course, contact us. Let us know what we should be covering. Hit us up on social media too, at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And find us, subscribe for free where you get your podcasts. You'll get the new episode every day. We're on Apple, we're on Google, now we're on Spotify as well as Stitcher and everywhere else. So rate us and review us and tell us what you think. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We will talk tomorrow.